Amen. Good to have you in the evening service tonight. Some good news. Faith Promise has gone up to 163,000 this year. And so we're very, very encouraged about that. I want to give you that good news as we start. And then we won't have testimonies tonight due to all the different presentations. But I do want to give you a thorough update just on some people. I did talk to Darlene Daugherty this afternoon. And she's having a lot of trouble in her knee that's connected to the leg that she had surgery on. Probably bone-to-bone things going on there. Very, very difficult to walk. She asked for prayer. She thought she would try to make it this morning, but she's not confident of getting in and out of vehicles yet and all of that. So please pray for Darlene. Tom Albright's under the weather. Annette, I believe, is under the weather. Abby and, Emily are approaching that month of delivery, which means they could go anytime. And so pray for Abby. I know Abby Dombeck's a little bit under the weather, been out all day today. And I know Emily is ready, any moment, any day. But pray for these ladies as they're in their last month of pregnancy. We're also praying for Brother Gene Ingalls. As you know, he was in the hospital. He has been able to come home, but I believe he's dealing with a cough still. And so pray for Brother Gene and pray for his blood count to pop back up. Very low blood count because of what he was dealing with. He is home. Thank the Lord for that. But we're just praying for total recovery there. And then Brother Larry has an important doctor's appointment with his hip this week. Is that right, Brother? Tomorrow. And that's an important doctor's appointment for him. So remember that. Brother Fry is still sick. And then Bobby is here tonight. Thank the Lord for that. But I know the last few days have been maybe the worst of what he's dealt with. And so pray for Brother Bobby. Brother Gary Urey is dealing with a cough. And then Jess Urey has not been here. I don't know if you've caught that, but the last 3 or 4 weeks, and he's dealing with a UTI infection. I did talk to him today, and he just finished up the medication or antibiotics and is praying that that could get out of his system. And so he went from blood clot in his leg to UTI. And so pray for Brother Jess. He's in good spirits. I had the privilege to pray with him today, but remember him. And then Bill Strausser is also doing better. Just needs strength. Just very, very fatigued. But he is doing better overall. Stand with me tonight. Good to have you in the evening service. Let's bow for a word of prayer as we get started. Lord, we pray for our brothers and sisters tonight. And Lord, we miss some of them are traveling, Lord, but others are sick. We do remember these people by name tonight before your throne. Pray for Brother Tom and Annette and Brother Gary Urey and Bob Fry, Lord, these people that are dealing with sickness. And, Lord, we pray that for total healing. We pray for Brother Strausser and Darlene Daugherty, Lord, with their individual physical needs, Lord, that you would help them through this time, be near to them, Lord, encourage their hearts as they're not able to be in church. And, Lord, we pray your blessing upon them. We pray for Emily tonight and Abby, Lord, as they approach this month of, Lord, where their due date is, Lord. We pray that you would give them healthy babies, give them the strength they need in these last days. And, Lord, we pray that they would be healthy as well, Lord. We depend upon you for these matters, Lord. We pray for Brother Bobby. It's good to see him tonight. But, Lord, we do lift him up and ask, Lord, for deliverance from the terrible back pain, Lord, that he's experiencing, as well as Brother Harry with him tonight. Lord, pray for these people that you would heal their back. And, Lord, we pray for Brother Larry going in for his doctor's appointment, that, Lord, there would be more that could take place to give him some relief from the pain that he's been experiencing, Lord. I think Kathy gets her, maybe her pins out this week with her foot surgery. And so, Lord, just lift these needs to you. Lift up Brother Gene tonight. And, Lord, I know he'd be here if he could. I pray that you'd strengthen his body. And, Lord, that you'd take away the cough and restore those blood counts, Lord, I pray, for him. And by that, Lord, renew his strength. We miss him. We pray for Petra tonight. She's on the road having trouble breathing, even getting home, Lord. I pray that you would let her be able to get her breath even as they travel today. In Jesus' name, amen. Please remain standing. Is that right? Now, when you have presentations like this, it messes up the whole service. So we're discombobulated tonight. We can't hardly get our thoughts right. But you may be seated. We're going to start tonight with the choir singing, all right? The choir singing.
Sing to the Lord a new song. Oh, magnify stand with me, please. Turn to hymn number 549. Hymn number 549, Jesus is Calling. We'll sing two stanzas, the first and the fourth, of hymn number 549. Standing for prayer. Brother Emery, would you pray of our offering, please? Please be seated. Thank you.
Well, it's an exciting night as a number of our young adults are going to be sharing with you some reports and also where God is leading them, what God's led in their hearts. And so we'll start off tonight with Esther Schweitzer. Esther took a short-term missions trip to Australia. And as you know, we have a short-term missions trip policy here at our church that if you're a faithful member, you're involved in outreach, and you desire to take a missions trip and you work through the pastor and we work with missionaries that we stand like-minded with, then we will support you for 30% of the trip plus a love offering. And so we were able to do that. And Esther presented before her trip, and now she's giving you a report of what God did through her trip. Esther.
Good day, mates. How are you going? That's a common greeting over there. Don't worry, I'm not going to try to keep all the accent through the... sorry, but hopefully you'll be able to get a good glimpse just of the month I got to spend there in Australia and just some of the things God taught me through it. So the first week, we helped with a holiday Bible club, or as we would call it, Vacation Bible School, in Brisbane, which is on the east coast of Australia. And if it wasn't their first VBS they've ever had, it was the first one in many, many years. And I was really encouraged by there was just a great group of young adults who were just excited about serving the Lord. And they just went above and beyond just to make the VBS happen. And actually, the Gears, who the couple I traveled with, they had the chance to train this group of young adults earlier in the year. So it was really encouraging for them to be able to see them put into practice the training that they had gotten. And there was 52 registered for that and 6 saved, along with some assurances of salvation. So that was a great week. And then from there, we flew to Melbourne to be with at Westside Baptist Church, which is the church that Brother Chris Eccles, the missionaries we support, and his family there, that is their church. And so it was really neat. I was so encouraged by their church. They just had a great group of people who just had a joy of the Lord and really went above and beyond to serve in the not only right there in church, but also at the National Baptist Fellowship that they were able to host. And also, I was encouraged just by the Eccles themselves, just seeing the heart and love they had for the Australians and the people in their church there. And I just had so from there, we were at the Eccles Church on Sunday, and then throughout the week, they hosted this National Baptist Fellowship. And so there was, I think, somewhere around 500 or so people there. And so the Gears and I and some other people worked with the kids each of the mornings throughout the week there. And I had a blast. That was probably my favorite week of the whole trip. Just working with the kids, and I got to teach and help and stuff. And it was also my birthday that week as well, so it was a very memorable birthday. And I also got to attend the evening services as well, which were a real blessing. And I played in the orchestra as well. And then from there, we helped out at a little church Sunday afternoon, and there was some people there. There's, except for like Sydney and maybe Melbourne, churches are very spread out there. So there was people there who had driven 3 and 4 hours to come to that. So it was just a blessing just to see their love for the Lord and how excited they were just to be together and fellowship with other believers, and made me appreciate more what I have. And then we went to a church in Queanbeyan, which is right side outside of Canberra, which is the capital in Australia. And it was their first holiday Bible club since before COVID. So there was a really good turnout, and I believe the church was really encouraged. And especially since their pastor hasn't been there for almost 2 years because his wife's health is really bad. So he's actually in the States right now. But 6 kids got saved that week, and I had the privilege of leading two of them to the Lord. If you see up there on the top, those are 4 of the girls who got saved. So that was a blessing. And then week 4, I call it the miscellaneous week because we did a lot of random stuff. We were in Sydney that week, and it was neat. We were able to just meet with a lot of different people that the Gears have made connections with over the years. and just be encouraged by others around the world who love the Lord. And then also they did a teacher training there, and I think there was around 25 there. And we heard reports even a week later that they were already putting into practice what they learned and seeing good results. So that was really encouraging. And then we also got to do some sightseeing that week, which was really neat. I enjoyed that. Australia is definitely a beautiful place. And I have tons of pictures, but that's not the focus of this presentation. So, but if you want to see more, I'll show you later. But I just wanted to share a few things. So that's a very quick view summary of my month in Australia. But here's just a few things that the Lord taught me through that time. One, it was just a blessing to be able to be with the Gears and just glean from their vast knowledge and experience they had. And I definitely believe that God increased my effectiveness in His service just by working alongside of them. So I'm definitely thankful for that privilege. And also, there's nothing like taking an extended missions trip and just getting a better idea of how you can pray for missionaries. And there's just challenges on the field that you probably will never hear about or know about that they go through, but just an encouragement that we really need to pray for missionaries. And then the Lord taught me flexibility. I have a greater appreciation. I was thinking of Dr. and Mrs. Starr, but just of what evangelists do and also missionaries on furloughs, like being in a different, you know, sometimes sleeping in multiple different places in 1 week and always being the new person and having a constantly shifting and unknown schedule really teaches you flexibility and just to be ready for anything, honestly. And the Lord also gave me just a better understanding of the Aussie culture. One of the challenges is it's actually a very prosperous country, but the challenge with that is that they're well off and they don't need God. So the Australians themselves, Aussies are very hard to reach with the gospel, and they just don't have an interest, most of them, in anything religious. But it's also a neat opportunity because, like I had mentioned when I gave my presentation before going on the trip, there are people from all over the world who come live there, and some people have gotten the chance to hear the gospel and gotten saved and are serving in a local church where it's probably illegal in the country that they came from. And because they came to Australia, they had the chance to hear that. So there's a lot, there's challenges, but there's also neat opportunities and blessings as well. And so definitely through the trip, God helped me to know how to pray for Australia as a whole better just in knowing how some of the challenges and what it takes just to reach some of them for the gospel. So overall, this trip was a great opportunity that I'm so thankful that I got to take. And my encouragement to each one of you tonight is just to serve the Lord with all you have wherever He's placed you. You know, you might never take the gospel to another country, but you have unsaved people all around you that you have the chance to reach to, whether it's for the musical or just handing out a tract or being a witness at your work or things like that. And you might not get the chance to personally encourage national believers from different countries around the world, but you can pray for missionaries who are able to reach them. You can encourage the missionaries. And then, you know, you might not be able to work with a VBS across the country, but you can do it here in the States in our own church. So just encouragement. Be all in wherever you're at. That's something God definitely worked in my heart about. Like, I shouldn't just be about outreach or ministry just when I go on a trip, but right here where I'm at all the time. And each of y'all who prayed for me and or gave financially towards the trip, each of you guys have a part in everything that God did through the trip, and you were able to invest, like Pastor was talking about this morning, investing in missions worldwide and just be a part of what God did in Australia as well. So thank y'all.
Would you stand with me, please? Turn to hymn number 691. Hymn number 691, Saved by Grace. Excuse me. Again, we'll sing just the first and the four stanzas of hymn number 691.
Someday the silver cord will break, and I know more and
Please be seated.
It's a privilege to have with us tonight Jericho Morris, and he's been working with Pastor Courtney Lewis out at Cornerstone Baptist Church in Chicago. And I had the privilege to meet Brother Jericho probably 3, maybe 4 years ago, and certainly have always appreciated his zeal for the gospel and his burden for missions. And he's been a servant in his training and also now serving the Lord at Cornerstone Baptist Church. Years ago, I needed a roof replaced, and somehow we got into that conversation. And he told me, he said, "Pastor, I do roofs, and I would be willing to come out and do your roof. If you would allow me to do that, I would come out and do it for you." And, of course, that didn't work out for us schedule-wise, but I know he has a real heart to reach people with the gospel and a servant's heart. And so he's out here this weekend and passing through and getting ready to go to Africa. And so he told me at a presentation he wasn't looking for support, but he's trying to just meet with churches, similar to what we'll be doing with Todd Keith in the future, getting him out, getting him to meet pastors, and getting to meet people and share his burden. And so Jericho's here tonight. Jericho, you come and give us just a presentation of what God's leading you to do.
Sorry, when I get to a different church, I'm always like, what do I do with myself? Okay, let's see, this on? Okay, it will be on once I go. Okay, all right, got my clicker, and we can go. Okay, testing, 3, 2, 1, testing, here we go. Okay, all right, so if you've not met me yet, you don't know me, my name is Jericho Morris. As Brother Star was saying, I've been serving now at Cornerstone Baptist Church about 2.5 years. I graduated, I was a missions major. I was one of those guys that wanted to get out of the classroom and straight to, you know, the jungles. You know, just I was just kind of that type. And the last thing I ever wanted to be part of or do was be involved in Christian education. I love learning, but I hate formal schooling. I just hate sitting at a table in a classroom taking notes. I just the monotony of it. And so I arrived at Cornerstone Baptist Church, and, you know, the new guy on set, and Pastor Lewis says, "I'm starting a school, I need someone to run it, start it and run it." And I was like, and so I just said, "Let the Lord's will be done." The church was going to take a vote on it in a week, and I told Pastor, "I'm voting." They say no, and unfortunately, they did not vote no, and we had 3 months to start a school, and start our school we did, and the school is still running, praise the Lord, and I'm just so thankful for it. He gave me a school to start and run, a bus route to basically take over and basically get back going, and I was thankful this morning. I was on the phone with some of the parents and the kiddos, get up, Mr. Michael's coming, and all this stuff, and I was happy to know that we actually had a good day on the bus route, and serving at Cornerstone has been such a proving ground for me. If you know anything about Chicago, it is not a very safe city. It is not the most. If you're red-blooded conservative American, it's probably a place you avoid because the gun laws there they don't recognize hardly any other state's gun laws. And however, it's been such a good proving ground because I've learned the sowing and reaping process of going out, seeking souls, bringing those souls in, seeing them saved, and discipling them. I work with about a dozen teen boys straight out of the hood, basically. And I tell you what, I had a burden for inner cities when I was a teenager. I grew up in a setting like this, very small town, rural church ministry. And I would see, you know, around the corner every 10, 15 minutes, you'd see another fundamental Baptist church, this church, this church. But I'd look at the cities, and I would see maybe 1, 2, 3 in a city of about 4 or 5 million people. And I would see these kids coming out of the inner city, same color, but obviously totally different mindset. And I remember thinking to myself, the only difference between me and those kids is I got truth taught to me. I got an environment. I was put in a situation they never got. And it just instilled a burden in me to say, I can't judge them by how they act or how they are, because I'd be the same way had I been in the same situation. And so thankful to be right there in communism land, serving and helping out some of those young people. And it is rough. I will say we've had fights break out at the church. I've been held at gunpoint. I've been threatened, and it's in nature. But In all honesty, I believe the Lord's going to greatly use that for the future. And some things we got going on. I gave this presentation to my church, and I preached a message on our responsibility to the unreached. And I took the text from Romans 15, 14 to 13, where the Bible says, this is the Apostle Paul talking. And Romans 15, verse number 20, the Bible says, yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. But it was written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. I quickly recognize the need that as when we look at missions, sometimes we need to look where people are not looking. We need to look where people are not going. We need to look where are people that are still in darkness not getting any light whatsoever. And in Acts 16, 6 to 10, you read about the Macedonian vision that Paul had. And you read about how he was actively trying to think through different places that he had not yet preached the gospel. And we see this is a map of the Apostle Paul's missionary journeys, ranging from all the way in Jerusalem, all the way going, from being taken to Rome. But we see he was actively trying to think through his ministry, how could we reach more, where else could we go to. And literally, you read in that passage how they tried to go in certain places, but the Holy Spirit would forbade them from even going. And eventually, until God brought it clear as day in a vision, they developed that burden for the unreached. They had that vision for the unreached. They had that vision of the Macedonian man calling them to come to Macedonia and preach the gospel unto them. And then shortly after that, he had the obedience to go to the unreached area. And so that was a very condensed version of that message. But basically, we see that the Apostle Paul's, he was always trying to actually think, who else can we reach who's not getting reached? And so from a young age, when I was only 14, 15, I'm originally from the nation of Haiti. If you know anything about Haiti, Haiti is very distressed. It's the poorest nation in the Western Hemisphere. I was born basically in a small village. And long story short, after I was born, my mother passed away. I have no clue who my father is. Don't know if he's alive at all. But I was basically rescued and taken in by missionaries. And through those missionaries, I was to be adopted and brought to the United States. And God broke me down one year when I was about 14 years old at camp. If you know anything, also, back in 2010, Haiti had a massive earthquake that hit the capital in Port-au-Prince. And within a matter of 60, 90 days, 500,000 people were dead. And I remember just laying in bed one night, just seeing the footage of the bodies being dumped into mass graves and tearing up and wondering, what can I even do? And God just really put that on my heart. And I remember at camp, and I had some phases during my teen years, some areas of rebellion, but I remember there was one time at camp where God broke me down because I realized, God, why would you save me from all that? Give me what I have today, a Christian home, a Christian school, and a church. And God slapped me inside the head and said, so maybe one day you can go invest in someone else who's not been given the same opportunity you have been. And so that's from that point, God really began to steer my heart towards missions. And so we're taking a 5 to 6 month internship / survey trip over to East Central Africa. I was trying to go to Haiti, but due to the unrest, none of the missionaries that I'm connected to want me to come down. Outside of the inner city, outside of my home nation of Haiti, I've been doing a lot of research and had been since I was a teenager of the regions of East Central Africa. So the objectives of this internship survey trip is, number one, I'll be basing out of the Independent Baptist Church of Kabwe in Zambia, working with Brother Jeff Goss. And some of you are familiar with him. I believe there's a lady from y'all's church that is serving there. So I'll be based and starting off there. I'll be there for about 3 months. Basically getting a good understanding of the culture, getting a good understanding of the region, serving in that church in any way possible. Kabwe is the center city right there in Zambia. This is the church that is there, Independent Baptist Church of Kabwe. Assisting and witnessing to the lost and discipling believers, that's with the Goss, with some of the young people. And the neat thing about in Zambia, it's relatively stable, like it's poor, but it's not crazy and chaotic like some of the other regions around. So it's a great place to really build a good, stable, strong work to eventually start launching out in some of the other areas. We're networking with national pastors and other missionaries. From what I understand and from what I've seen, It's one thing for missionaries as they're on deputation. When they get overseas, they can get very lonely. They can get they're kind of shell shocked because they're going through learning the culture, learning the language, learning the people, trying to do ministry. It's frustrating. All these different things that go on emotionally and psychologically that they deal with. And so just being an encouragement to some of these missionaries that have left everything in the United States, go to some of these places, is such a refresher for them. And just being able to alleviate some of those burdens. We see in the New Testament, Paul always had young men that were with him to help alleviate some of those responsibilities, whether it was John Mark, whether it was Tychicus, whether it was he always had these men that were with him to help alleviate some of these things. And so as a volunteer, I'm just going and I'm going to be doing my best to help and alleviate some of the responsibilities that some of these missionaries, these pastors may have. Next thing is creating missions media and journalism content about these regions. When I was young, I had a big passion and love for geography. I wanted to know what was in this world. Where was this country? What was this culture? What was this region? What was this language? And I'd be the globe, just looking at the globe, looking at a map. Every time I come to a place, typical map, I just beam right over to it. I would research. I'd be YouTube and I'd be BBC, you know, watching documentaries of these different regions because it just thrilled me. I just love to know about those places. And so I was blessed to be able to get some media equipment because one of the goals is to really capture some of the stories of really what these national pastors and these missionaries are doing. You know, the best thing they usually can come up with is a simple prayer letter, which we're thankful for. But it's one thing to read a letter. It's another thing to see what exactly is going on, especially in some of these dark and oppressive regions. And you begin to realize and see, okay, these people – they really do need my prayer. When you're behind enemy lines, having friends is a good thing. And so my goal is to do my best at really creating a window between some of these missionaries and their supporting churches. Next thing is visiting regions of crisis. This picture is taken from the Democratic Republic of the Congo. If you know anything about Democratic Republic of the Congo, it is a very wealthy nation and natural resources, one of them being cobalt. If you own a smartphone, if you drive an electric car, if you have any of these electrical equipment, a lot of that stuff, that's the primary component, is cobalt. Cobalt is a very sought-after mineral, and 90% of it is found in the Democratic Republic of the Congo. So it's a very wealthy nation, gold, silver, but if you know anything about it, it's a very oppressed, distressed, impoverished, violent nation. And it's a French-speaking nation as well as Swahili-speaking, and 120 million people. You'll look at the statistics, it'll say 70% religious. However, you'll look at just, it's crazy and chaotic. And so pray especially that I can obtain a visa to get in there. That is my goal, to get in there. My contact for that region is Robert Mickey, who is based in Kenya, but has worse going on in the DRC. That is one particular region that we're really looking to visit. If you search on the travel advisory, this is when they don't want you to go into that place. This is the highest level. So one reason why I had not been able to go back to Haiti since 2017 was after that year, the UN peacekeeping forces pulled out. And I reached out to Brother Wall, the missionary who had rescued me, and I said, when can I come back to Haiti? He said, the level advisor is at a 3, and by conviction, I'm not taking anyone until it comes back down to at least a 2. Well, it's been over 5 years, and it has stayed at this level for the past 3. And so, again, we want to be wise when we're operating in some of these places. We don't want to be foolish. And so, okay, how do we still operate in some of these regions, being effective while also trying to be wise as possible? And so learning strategic methods of ministry in high-crisis countries is one thing that I've been trying to learn and study, and the only way you're going to really learn that is if you actually go to some of those places. And obviously, some of the national pastors are your best friends in those places because they understand the culture, they understand the work, they understand where they live at, they understand the geography. And so a big part of this survey mission trip is learning how to do strategic methods of ministry in high-crisis countries, to where we can't just stay hung up on this excuse, it's not safe. Because unfortunately, this world is never going to be safe. I'm in Chicago, Illinois. It's one of the top dangerous cities, but we still got a work to do. You understand? Souls are still being saved. There was a young man, literally, down the street from where I got a gun to the head, that just came to the church and got saved 3 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And praise the Lord for that. And so I can't just be like, oh, it's not safe. No. Go in the power of God, whatever His will be, and let His will be done. Okay. I feel like I missed one thing. Okay, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. 1 Corinthians 15:34 was a verse that really hit home to me because, again, there's so many people that sit in darkness and have no access to the light, simply because people are not willing to go to them with the light. So, after Zambia, I plan on traveling through Tanzania to get up to Kenya. Tanzania is a relatively stable nation. Any of these places are going to have their own issues, but Tanzania, it was either between going through Tanzania or going through Democratic Republic of Congo. I don't want to go to Congo without knowing anybody who I'm with just because of its situation. I want to get in there, but again, we want to be wise in how we do things. Next region is Kenya. Kenya is a large country. And the interesting thing about Kenya is it is the most prosperous African nation in East Central Africa. And so here in the purple, you have Somalia. If you know anything about Somalia, it is a locked country towards the gospel because it's Muslim-dominated. Islam, we've had some military operations there. It's war-torn to the max. But thankfully, a lot of these... Is there a laser pointer on here? The green? Thankfully, a lot of Somalians are crossing into Kenya by the droves, because they're leaving their war-torn homes and the impoverished craziness and going into Kenya. And so it's creating an opportunity like never before to reach Somali people due to the fact that we missionaries can't just meander on into Kenya and say, I'm a missionary. They'll get kicked out, or worse, they'll be persecuted, or their converts will be persecuted. And they're coming across the border into Kenya. Also, South Sudan to the north. South Sudan has been it's the newest country in the world, but it's in civil war right now. And many of the South Sudanese are also coming into northern Kenya. So there's two major refugee camps that are in Kenya that are housing both these people. The first one is the Dadaab refugee camp, one of the largest. This is where a lot of these Somalis are coming into and staying at. And I mean, I was watching on the documentary that some of these places reach temperatures of 120 degrees during the day. And this is all these people have to stay in. And so you understand, you realize that this is just a picture of typical people. Islam is their predominant religion. So as I was saying, it is creating an opportunity. I was just reading some statistics. There's 107 million people that are on the move because of displacement issues within their country. Whether it's at the Mexico border, whether it's at the Ukraine border, whether it's at the Palestinian-Egyptian border, there's so many people more than ever before on the move because of chaos going on in their country. And so it's also creating a unique opportunity for churches and Christians to reach people that might have otherwise could never been reached before. The Insanity of God is a book I read that gives a good understanding of the work going on in that part of the world. I'm not going to necessarily say that's a book to get all your doctrine from, but it's a great book to really give you an understanding of working, number one, in Muslim countries, working with the Somali people, and working in places of high persecution. Next, as I said, was Kakuma, which is near the South Sudanese border. This is the largest refugee camp in East Africa. Not only do they have people from South Sudan, they have Somali people, they have people from Rwanda, people from Congo, people from Uganda, all over the place. And this is a picture of Kakuma refugee camp. And this is, I told Pastor Lewis, I said, if I don't make it anywhere else, I want to go to these refugee camps. You're going to see a picture later on, but you say, why in the world would you want to go there? Well, I come from a place that's not much different from that. And because a missionary decided to leave what he had, I'm even here to this day. A good read to understand the life of a refugee, particularly from South Sudan, is Days of Refugee by Nathaniel Shalnyak. Going through that for the second time. Really, he, long story short, basically had to leave South Sudan, came back to a burning village because of rebel fighters that came and took over, had to walk all the way to Ethiopia, barely survived, got pushed out of Ethiopia due to another civil war, back into South Sudan, got pushed out of South Sudan, down to Kakuma refugee camp, and eventually got a lottery visa to come to the United States. but really gives one a good understanding of what a refugee goes through in East Africa. Bangoma, DRC, Democratic Republic of Congo. This is in East Kivu province. Brother Mickey has works going on in this area. They're not issuing visas right now because of the M23, different rebel groups that are fighting because of the rich mineral deposits. Basically, what these rebel groups do, they're armed by some foreign investor. They take over a region, and they enslave the people to go work in these mines. And they keep it crazy. They keep it chaotic because it's easy to do business because there's so much business going on in there. If they have to do everything legal, not as much profit. That's usually one of the reasons why places are kept the way they are. A good book to understand the Democratic Republic of Congo and the history of its war was Dance and Glory Monsters. It's a long book, very sad book. Basically gives the understanding of the Rwandan genocide, which led a lot of refugees into the DRC. And again, Congo's been in conflict really since its independence. And it's really sad. 1994 Rwandan genocide. If you know anything about Rwanda or the Rwandan genocide, 200,000 people were left killed within a couple months, Tutsis slaughtered by the other tribe of the Hutus, the rivers just filled with bodies. Really sad. However, Rwanda has made a massive comeback. It is a miracle situation. This is, again, that's a picture of the genocide. This is present day Rwanda, Kigali, is the fastest growing economy in Africa, one of the cleanest cities in Africa. The president, Paul Kagame, who took over after the genocide, said, we're not going to let this be the end of our story. And basically, he did what hardly any African leader does, instituted no corruption policy, ran it with an iron fist, but ran it in a direction that was going to bring the country forward. And as a result, Rwanda has become a very prosperous African nation. But it's becoming very hard to start churches there in the wake of trying to be more first world. It's the restrictions of church buildings and restrictions of pastors having to have credentials from accredited university, stuff like that. It's become very difficult for missionaries to work in Rwanda. However, it is a very stable, relatively safe nation to work in, and it neighbors with the DRC. Why such places? Brother Jericho, why in the world are you interested in going to such crazy, dangerous nations? Well, that's me when I was in Haiti. That's my nanny. I think I was probably about a year and a half old. The man there in the truck talking, where did my laser pointer go? Right there is Brother Missionary Wall, who basically was delivering me to my parents, my adopted parents that day. And again, he left a good job in the 1970s to go to the most impoverished nation in the Western Hemisphere, started over 30 churches in Haiti, and I so happened to be one of the ones that he was able to rescue before he had to shut down the orphanage, and I stand before you to this day because of his input. And so I can't just stay here and think, well, some people should go there, some people should go there, you know, this issue's there, when God's telling me, what about you? And so that was the primary motivation and vision as to why I felt the Lord. I settled this. I prayed and fasted about a week over it back in the spring. And I knew that this was the next step in order to pursue God's will for my life. And so my question, I conclude this in my sermon. Where did you come from? Where would you be if someone did not come and reach you? And so... so just pray for us as I will be going over there in January 11th. I'll be flying out. I do have prayer cards. I'd like to get them to any of those. I have about 50 of them. And then I have a sign-up sheet if you'd like to receive some of these field updates that I'll be giving from the National Pastors and Missionaries that you can throw your email on there. And I'll be able to kind of provide some correspondence to anyone who wants to stay updated from the field. So thank you.
Turn to hymn number 619. Hymn number 619. Please stand with me one more time. We'll sing just the first stanza. Just the first stanza of hymn number 619. Stand up for Jesus.
Stand up for Jesus.
Please be seated.
Oh, I don't know about you, but I've enjoyed already what God's put in these young people's hearts and seeing some of the fruit from Esther's ministry. And my girls talked to me a little while ago about taking a missions trip over to Cambodia and then to the Philippines, since they're close in travel. And so they're going to share with you some opportunities that they have with the missionaries that we'll be working with over there.
All right. I'm not sure if this is on, but I'm sure it will get come on soon. So I would say earlier this year, last semester in school, one of our good friends, her name is Anne Reinhardt, she told Alyssa and I that she would be going over to Cambodia to visit Eli and Marilyn Truck, and not just visit them, but she was going to actually be teaching in their school for a year. And so all of us girls, you know, we started talking about how neat it would be to go over and visit her and, you know, see the work over there that they're doing. And at first it was kind of a joke, like, oh, yeah, you know, it'd be so cool to go visit you and go to a different country over Christmas and, you know, all this stuff. But then we actually started, you know, looking at our finances and talking to our parents, and we realized, hey, guys, this could actually work. And this is a very real possibility for us. And so after talking with Dad about it and with Mrs. Schrock and then with Uncle and Aunt Marcia later, we realized that this was a very good opportunity for us that we could go visit the Schrocks. And since we had already decided, you know, we're going halfway across the world already, we might as well go visit family too. So we also get to spend a week with Uncle and Aunt Marcia in the Philippines. So this is just a quick presentation that we put together for you guys, and hopefully it'll give you a little bit more information about what we'll be doing and where we'll be traveling and things like that. So we're actually going to be spending 2 weeks of our Christmas break traveling. The first week we'll actually be spending in the Philippines, and then we'll go to Cambodia. But Cambodia, the capital of Cambodia, or the city that we'll be staying in, is Siem Reap. And so up here, you'll see that the map of Cambodia. And Siem Reap is kind of towards the upper left-hand corner. It's kind of small. But then down here is just a little map of Siem Reap. So this is our team that we have. So Alyssa and I will be going, and then also Anne's sister, Emily, who I went to school with for a number of years. She just graduated this past May, and she'll be also going with us. And then Isaac's sister, Katie, who's also a really good friend of Anne, will also be coming with us. So she's flying in from Utah, and she'll meet us at the airport, and then we'll head over to Cambodia. But so we have a couple goals for this trip. The first one is that we are going to help with the Schrocks, and the main thing that they want us to help with is their Christmas music night. So they do a really special night during the Christmas season, and what they want us to do is just come in, help with a lot of special music. So Alyssa and I will be doing some piano, we'll be singing and putting together some different groups while we're there, but that's a main focus that they want us to really help with, is just their big music program that week. And because it's Christmas week, that is a huge outreach ministry for them, and people love coming in and listening to the music and things like that. So that will be a huge part of the ministry that we'll be helping with in Cambodia, of course, getting things set up for that while we're there and helping them out with that. We'll also be helping with weekly canvassing, so that's a big part of what they do, and I'm really excited to go over and see just how they do that in a different country. And I know I've been on several missions trips, but I always think it's very neat to be able to go and see how other ministries are operating and see how the Lord is using them. Another thing that we'll be doing is helping with a lot of the teen girls' Sunday school classes and things like that. It's really neat because while Anne has been over there, we've gotten to FaceTime her several times in her classes and things like that. And so a lot of the younger kids actually already know us, and we'll get on the phone with them, and they'll see us and go, oh, Miss Jenna, Miss Melissa. And it's really exciting to see them and kind of already get to know them like halfway across the world, and then we get to go see them, and they're all excited to meet us officially, and we're excited to meet them too. But that is a big part of the ministry that we'll be able to be a part of, and just helping out with the junior church classes and then with some with the teen girls as well. And then the Philippines, they're going to also keep us quite busy. But they want us to help out in their Sunday school ministries. Aunt Marcia has already been texting me back and forth about different responsibilities that she wants us to do. And so we're excited to be able to go help out in that. We'll also be helping in special music as well, and probably playing piano. We'll be singing. I know that Aunt Marcia really wants us to sing with the boys. So I'm excited to go over and help with that. And then, again, weekly canvassing. They're also doing a special Christmas Sunday while we're there, so that's a huge outreach, especially for the kids. I know that Amarsha said they'll bring in 70 to 100 kids on that day. So we'll be bagging up goodies for them and being a part of that outreach. And then there also we'll be helping with several Bible clubs that they have. So just a little bit of the ministries that we'll be helping in. And then, again, we'll just be visiting Anne and catching up with her. And it's hard to be in a different country by herself. I mean, she's, I think, a year younger than I am, and she's teaching in a school in a country where she doesn't know the language, she doesn't know the people. And yes, she has the Shrocks there, and they have been a huge blessing and support for her. But I think it will be a really big encouragement to her to just have a couple friends visit her and be able to see the ministry that she's been a part of for the past month or so, and that she'll be continuing to help out in for the next school year. So the Shrocks are the missionaries that we'll be visiting, Eli and Marilyn Shrock. They have three kids, Christopher, Nicole, and Angela. And it's a really neat opportunity for us to go visit them, because Alyssa and I have been traveling with our college ensemble this year. And then two of their kids, the two oldest ones, Christopher and Nicole, are actually part of the group as well. So we've been able to get to know them, and then we'll be able to go visit their family over Christmas. So that's a really unique opportunity for us, is to just get to know them a little bit better. The Shrocks have been in Cambodia since 2003. They've been serving in Siem Reap at Victory Baptist Church. And several years ago, I know that Pastor Jared had the opportunity to intern with them for a number of months. And so just a little bit of a connection that we have with them. We've been supporting them for quite a while. And they've had several groups in to take missions trips. But the population of Cambodia is 16.9 million, so it's a relatively large country. But Siem Reap, the city there, is about 245,000 people. And so that's the setting that they've been serving in for the past number of years. And it's a religion that's very steeped in Buddhism. So they have been, the struggles with witnessing to Buddhists and things like that are a little bit more unique than you would get going down the road in Brogue. So I think it will be really neat to be able to talk with the Shrocks about exactly how they do witness and how they can reach the lost in Cambodia, specifically in Siem Reap. But with the Buddhism and with that religion, I know that it can be very difficult to witness to them because of just a completely different philosophy and mindset that they have. But I am excited to go visit them and see that ministry. So these are several pictures that Mrs. Shrock has sent me of just different ministries that they have, and then also these are several ministries that we'll be helping out in. So they have a faithful teen class that comes every week, and this is a picture of their church on a Sunday night. So they have a pretty good sized church that can help them in their ministries and things like that. On Tuesday nights they have a music class that meets every week. And I know that Anne has been a part of that, and hopefully we'll be able to go and see that ministry as well and be able to help out there as well. And then down here is just a picture of Nicole Shrock and some of her friends that she has in the church there. This is up here. This is the Shrock's neighbor, and she was saved a couple months ago. She's been coming to their church. This right here is some of the teen girls, and I'm really excited to meet them. One of them in particular, this girl, her name is Mai, and I have talked to her on the phone several times, and she always gets so excited to see us, but she was telling me a couple of stories the other day, and she's very energetic and very outgoing, but she's a really sweet girl, and a lot of them are, and so I'm really excited to meet them. And then down here, this was when Anne went initially to Cambodia. That was a bunch of the girls got together and made some banners for her to welcome her. And then down here was when Nicole went to college. So in August, she and Christopher came back to school, and so her church friends came to see her off. Up here in this corner, this is a picture of a bunch of the girls welcoming Angela home from the hospital. So I'm sure some of you heard, but a couple weeks ago, she was extremely sick and basically fighting for her life in the hospital. And it was touch and go for quite a while. And I know that a lot of you were praying, and we were praying at school. They were sending out updates through, Mrs. Shrock was texting us and Anne and just keeping us updated and in the loop. And it was very scary. It was a very scary time for them. But Angela, thankfully, praise the Lord, she did recover and she's doing well. She actually came out to our youth conference a couple weeks ago and got to compete and everything. So she's doing so much better than she was, and we're praising the Lord that she is much healthier. This out right here is a Bible club that meets on Wednesday nights outside of the school. And so I think they talked about having us in to help with that as well. And then down here, this was a picture of their ladies' conference. They actually, this happened while Angela was sick. So Mrs. Schrock was kind of back and forth between the hospital and planning this conference. But it was a huge blessing to her, and just to have all the ladies get together from several different churches in the area as well. And this is something that they put on every year, but I know that it's a big part of their year and a little bit of a stressful time maybe while Angela's in the hospital, but it was a huge blessing and an encouragement for them. And then down here is Anne with some of the young ladies in the church, and they're all eating spicy noodles, and they've already warned us that we're going to be trying those as well. And it's not about the taste, it's about how spicy you can take it. So that is something that we will be trying. But I am really excited for this trip, and I think the next slide is the Philippines, so I'm going to let Alyssa tell you about that.
So I'm really excited to be going over to the Philippines, especially because we've been there before, and last time I absolutely loved going there, and I was like, when can I go back? So I'm so excited that we get to go. So obviously, most of us know them. It's Bill and Marcia and WT and Joe Hardecker, and they're in Taguig City in the Philippines, serving at Mount Zion Baptist Mission. And Taguig City is near Metro Manila. And actually, my boss is from around Manila in the Philippines. And so that was really neat talking to her and learning a little bit about the different culture there. She really liked to tell me about how different it is there. So the population is 113.9 million in the Philippines. But then in Taguig City, it's 800,000. Which is quite a large city, and then their main religion is Roman Catholicism. And actually, my boss kind of opened up about this a little bit, and she was telling me how strong like the Catholicism is there. And also, besides that, but even she said ancestral worship is really big there. And also, Uncle Bill wrote in his letter that a lot of the people are taking like food and different things to the grave sites right now during this time. So just to seeing the real need for that and hearing about that firsthand from even my boss and my uncle as well, just of the really how blinded they are and how much they really do need to hear about Christ. So these are some pictures that we have of the ladies' groups up in the top left corner, and then the morning service there as well in the right corner, top right, and then the girls' Sunday school class. That is something that we will be helping with, and the boys' Sunday school class as well. So I'm really excited to help out with that. Last time we went, we did help a little bit, but I think it'll be really fun this time because I've worked a lot more in Sunday schools and junior churches and college and things like that, so I feel like I can really be hopefully a little bit more helpful this time. So we're really excited to help in that. I know we'll be teaching some of the classes and helping with stories and games. And then their Vacation Bible School also is pictured down there. And then our travel, I'd go over this part a little bit. We are traveling from Chicago to Bangkok, which then we'll have a 10-hour layover. So we'll be traveling 31 hours just to Bangkok. So just pray for safety traveling there. And then from Bangkok, we'll go straight to Manila, which will be about a 4-hour flight or so. So the total together will be about 35 hours for the way there. So it's a very long trip, but we're really looking forward to that. And then we'll go from Manila. We'll be in Manila for about a week, and then we will go to Siem Reap. So, and then we'll be there for a week and come back in time for school to start again in January. But for some prayer points we have is just safety and traveling for the long, long trips, just that everything will go smoothly and that we won't miss any flights or anything. And just for effectiveness in ministry, just that we can be a blessing to them and really try to help out and get to know the people there and the children, and then some opportunities to witness. I know that we don't know the languages necessarily, but I know a lot of the kids know English, so we can talk to them. And then also we can talk through interpreters as well. But just that we would have boldness as well to go out and go door knocking. And then just to encourage the missionaries, I was really excited that we could go over Christmas, and I know we're missing being here, but that we can see our aunt and uncle during that time will be really special to have to for us to be there. And just that we can help them out in any way and just be flexible and just be willing to do whatever they need. And then just a big thank you to you all. Acts 13:47 says, "For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth." And we just want to say thank you so much for all of your prayers and love and support. And we really couldn't have done this without you. And we are looking forward so much to all that the Lord has planned for this trip. Thank you.
Well, isn't that exciting? I mean, it's exciting to see these young people that have gone on missions trips and young people going on missions trips and seeing the burden for souls across the world. And listen, it's exciting that we get to take part in this. It's exciting that the Lord has allowed us as a church to pledge just over $163,000 for next year's Faith Promise. That's exciting. And so as we hear these presentations, it's not just about the money, of course. It's about the prayers. And you know what else it is? It's about all of us, every one of us, not just young people, but every one of us. Lord, what would you have me to do? What would you have me to do? There's opportunities for missions trips. There's opportunities for other things like that. Lord, what would you have me to do? So this is very exciting, and we will definitely continue to pray for these missions trips. Jericho, I want prayer cards so we can make sure we post them. Ushers, if you'll come. Now, we as part of our short-term missions trip policy is that our missions budget does help with one-third of the missions budget for the trip. And then we take up a love offering. We did this for Esther, and we're going to do this for Jenna and Alyssa as they prepare to go on their missions trip. Again, this is something we do as part of our missions policy. All right. Butch Robinson, would you please pray over this offering?
Father, I'm mindful of your word where it says, "It is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." And Lord, what we have seen tonight with these young people, dear Father, please protect them. Give them safety as they travel. And Lord, most of all, the work that you call them into, that maybe many souls will be won into the kingdom because of what you are accomplishing in this life. So I'm just asking, Father, that you just bless this offering, multiply it, and once again, keep our young people covered with your blood. In Christ's name, thank you, Father.
Amen.
Take your Bibles now. Turn to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. When you found Colossians chapter 3, stand with me if you would for the reading of God's Word. I'm going to read one verse, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23. Colossians 3:23, the Bible says, "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord, as to the Lord, and not unto men." Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we come before you. Lord, we do thank you for We thank you, Lord, for what we've seen tonight and the burden of these young people that have taken missions trips and want to go on missions trips. But, Lord, it comes from you, Lord, because there's souls that need to hear about Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, that you would bless these trips. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to remember to pray for them always. And Lord, now as we take a brief look into your word, I pray that you would help us to listen intently, to hear what your Holy Spirit has for each of us tonight. Help us to be doers of your word, not just hearers only. In your name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
In your Bibles in Colossians chapter 3, we certainly appreciate the preparation by those tonight to bless us and inform us about what God is doing. And you know, it's times like these when we sit and we see slides and we hear burdens and what's on people's hearts that our vision gets expanded. I don't know if that happened to you tonight, but that certainly happens to me when I see what Brother Jericho shared and I see these kids coming to Christ over in Australia. I'm thinking, are those church planters, are those faithful members in a church that will contribute and help the gospel to go forward? The world's a lot bigger than Brogue, isn't it? And it's good for us to see that and appreciate that tonight. We're in Colossians chapter 3. I'm not going to speak but maybe 7-8 minutes here and get started into something that I want to deal with over the next couple of weeks just on Sunday nights. And again, we'll come back to the book of Revelation. We haven't given up on that. But just kind of change things up here until we get through the Christmas season. I'd like to speak to you on getting more out of church. Getting more out of church. As Christians, attending the services with our church family is one of the greatest privileges that we have in life, is to be able to attend a Bible-believing local church with our family and with our church family. And if we're not careful, it is possible that the routine nature of our services can cause us all to slide into autopilot in coming to church. And when we slide into autopilot, we don't do things heartily. The Bible says here, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Or in other words, I'm to do it from my innermost being. And that includes church. When I come to church, I'm to do it from my heart. And brethren, we're blessed. We have church week in and week out. We have Sunday school and Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night and ladies Bible study during the week sometimes and other things that have spiritual thrust for us. And yet, if we lose heart in church attendance and in what's taking place at church, you know, all we're doing is ritual. And ritualism is dead. And all of us have the danger of the routine becoming autopilot. Yep, I'm supposed to be here at this time. Yep, we're going to sing a song. Yep, I'm going to give my offering. Yep, I'm going to listen to the preaching. And I'm going to go out and I'm going to do it all over again. And as a pastor, I can get into that mode. And I don't want that mode. And you ought not to want that mode of routine and ritualism. While the routine can become familiar, it is spiritually unhealthy for us to shift into autopilot. That means we need to be brought back to doing things intentionally and on purpose and with purpose. So I want to give you a number of thoughts, give you just two tonight, and we'll continue into next week. Number one, how do you get more out of church? Number one, pray. Pray. You should pray before you come to church. You should pray and ask God to teach you from His Word. Lord, I'm going to be under Your Word today. And Lord, that's meaningful. Lord, I want You to teach me. I want to have understanding. I want to be changed by Your Word. You should pray to ask God to show you who you can encourage at church. You might pray, Lord, would you work in hearts in our church today? Lord, if there's somebody lost, Lord, would you open their eyes to the gospel today? Would you be glorified? Lord, I pray for our choir and, Lord, our special music. I pray that we would not perform, but God, that what's sung will be sung from the heart. And, Lord, we'll minister to the heart. Pray. Pray. Pray puts us in the right place. Puts our hearts in the right place. You want to get more out of church? Take time to pray. Take time to pray before you come to church. Number two, prepare ahead of time. Prepare ahead of time. Get to bed early enough so that you can be awake in the service. I understand. Folks, I understand. We got some people here that you don't sleep well. Okay? And I know you do your dead level best to try to stay awake. But there are others that stay way out late on Saturday nights. We got time to watch movies till 11, 12 o'clock at night. And then we show up on Sunday morning and we're deadheads when it comes to taking in spiritually. You want to get more out of church, get your kids to bed early. Don't set up your Saturday nights to be late and be alive when you come to church. And be ready for God's Word to speak to your heart. That'll help you to get more out of church. Get enough rest the night before so your mind will be fresh and alert. Spend time with God before you head to church. Prepare ahead of time. When somebody new is coming to church, it's not part of their normal schedule. They have to sometimes prepare, and they have to, you know, set an alarm to get up in the morning. They're not used to getting up to go to church. But that doesn't mean that none of us should prepare. We ought to have our hearts prepared. Last one I give you tonight is cleanse your heart. Cleanse your heart. Historically, people speak of wearing their Sunday best to church and refer to dressing nicely on Sundays. And by the way, I believe that. I believe that God deserves our best. He deserves our best in every front. Years ago, a man was coming to the church and he was wearing his bib overalls on Sunday morning. And I touched on this issue and he got offended. He called me and said, Pastor, I guess you don't want me to come to church. I said, what did I say? Did I say you had to wear a suit? He said, no. I said, what did I say? He said, you ought to wear your best. I said, well, what's your best? He said, well, this is my best. I said, then wear your best. That's all I'm saying. God deserves your best. If your best is a pair of jeans and a flannel shirt, then God deserves that. But He deserves your best. All right? But that's not as important, the external clothes, as the internal clothing that we come with. Turn over your Bibles to James chapter 1. We'll finish here tonight and finish up the service. James chapter 1, verse number 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. The image is of removing filthy clothes. That's what the image is here. Remove these things out of your life. Lay them apart, all of it. And then what? Receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. You know, if we were diligent to do good cleanup work and removal work in our lives, you know what? When the word would go forth, it would be received with more meekness and it would have deeper impact on our lives. But because we don't always cleanse ourselves of superfluity of naughtiness and filthiness here, when we come to church, the engrafted word doesn't get in where it needs to because we don't have the spirit of humility. And as a result, the word can't change us like God wants to change us because we haven't done the prep work of removing the filthiness in our lives. And my friend, that comes down to your daily walk. That comes down to you having time with God. And Lord, search my heart today. And God, this attitude was wrong. Lord, purge that out of my life. So Lord, when I do go to church, my heart's completely open to receive the Word of God. You want more out of church, you become more dedicated to being cleansed by the Holy Spirit of God on a daily basis. And when you take that step, and you take that step seriously, when you come to church, it won't be that the Word is just getting to the surface. It won't be that it's just getting to your mind and it's not changing you. It will be received with meekness and humility, and God
I'm willing for you to change me by your word. And the word will get to where the word needs to get in our hearts. Remember, the word falls on different soils, doesn't it? And if the soil's not the good soil, you can listen to the best preacher in America, and that's not this guy, but you can listen to the best preachers in America, and it still won't hit pay dirt because it doesn't fall on good soil. But you got any preacher that's preaching the Word, and your heart is cleansed, and the Spirit of God is working, and you got clear communication with the Holy Spirit, and you know what? That Word will get to where it needs to get by the work of the Holy Spirit. And so we're talking about getting more out of church. Prepare ahead of time. Pray. I know this is simple, but you know what? We get away from the basics. These are basics, but they're good basics to bring us back to. Pray, prepare ahead of time, and cleanse your heart. Those are three good steps for you to get out of church what God designed for you to get out of church. Next week we'll come and continue on this very practical side. Father, we thank you, Lord, for a service that has a lot of different things in it tonight. Lord, we do pray over, Lord, what happened in Australia. And Lord, we pray that fruit would continue to be produced, Lord, even after Esther's ministry there and the Gears ministry. Lord, we pray for those new converts that they'll be plugged into local churches, that they'll grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Lord, we thank you for leading Esther to be able to be a part of those ministries and those churches there in the Philippines. Lord, we pray over Jericho. And Lord, we're excited about, Lord, the opportunities. And Lord, where there's opportunities, there's danger. We understand that. He understands that. But Lord, we know that where you point, you protect, you provide. And Lord, we're asking for that. And Lord, we're asking that, Lord, you will. Lord, he already has a world vision, Lord. But Lord, just deepen that. Burn that, Lord, within him. Give him opportunities, Lord, in those refugees camps, I pray, God, as he helps disciple and work with national pastors there in Kabwe, God, open doors and relationships and influence. And Lord, we pray that you'll direct his path in the future as a result of this survey trip that he's taken. We pray for Jenna and Alyssa and Katie and Emily, Lord, going to Cambodia and then over to the Philippines. God, we pray that, Lord, you would use them. We pray, Lord, many times, Lord, when we take missions trips, one of the main purposes you have is just to lift the arms of the missionary and provide fellowship. And then, Lord, to impact children and teen girls. And, Lord, opportunities with the gospel and the Christmas thrust, evangelistic thrust that these ministries have, Lord. We pray that you would provide for their every need. And, Lord, that you would use them and they would come back joyful and rejoicing and bringing the sheaves with them, Lord, we pray. And Lord, we thank you for our church. We pray that, Lord, you give us a daily walk with you, Lord. Help us not to forget the opportunities and the influence that we have. May we get many flyers out for the Christmas musical this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand with me if you would. We'll bow for a word of prayer. And then, let's see, Pastor Todd. I'll have him close in prayer tonight. And then we will... he has a meeting afterwards. I'll be in the back. And Brother Jericho, we would like you to go to the back as well. You have your prayer cards if you would like to sign up. Now, Brother Jericho, the Lord amazingly took care of the expenses of this trip for him. But I don't think he's ever turned down any love gifts, all right? And so if you'd like to be a blessing to him personally, you can do so in that way tonight. But by all means, get a prayer card so you can remember him in prayer in the coming weeks and months, all right? God bless you.
Don't forget everything going on this week. Men's work night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night. Deacons, we have a meeting. Friday is the Heart BWI tour. And then Saturday is Light on Purpose, 9:30 down in the annex. Please don't forget about that. Wednesday night, 6:30 p.m., handbells practice. So handbells down in the annex, handbells practice, 6:30 p.m. And then for the stage crew for the musical, due to equipment that is currently set up in the gymnasium, we will have no activities in the gym because we're getting it all set up, lots of things in there. So basically the annex is closed, okay? So until the musical, and that's just to keep everybody safe. Right after this service, down in room number one, I'd like to meet with couples, or at least one part of the couples, very, very briefly about the upcoming couples retreat. That's going to be at the end of February, but we've got an early deadline, and so I'd like to talk to couples. So I'll make it brief. You get on down there, I'll make it brief, but I want to talk to couples about the Marriage Matters retreat, or the couples retreat. That's down in room number one right after this service is over. Don't forget about the church budget. It's back there for your perusal, and we'll be voting on that first Wednesday in December. And don't forget to sign up for Christmas caroling. That's on Tuesday, December 12th. If you have any questions about that, you can see me. And that's in the foyer notebook. Okay. Any other last-minute announcements before we're dismissed? Please don't forget about our couples retreat meeting. All right. Mark Waldemeyer, would you please dismiss us in prayer?
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you. Oh,